Welcome to Running on Indy. I'm Jesse Davis.
And I'm Blake Robertson.
On today's show, we have Zach Toothman, a former teammate of mine and the current Avon head cross country and track coach. Today, on this episode, I thought I would try something a little bit different. Blake usually does the first plug for the show, and I thought we might try a segment, maybe a new game called Keep It or Cut It. So I'm going to read this this first plug in my special monster truck rally voice, and then I'm going to ask you guys if we should keep it or cut it.
Probably cut it.
I'm going to try. All right. Here we go. I was practicing on my run this morning, so we'll see. People probably thought I was crazy just running by myself. All right. Ready?
This episode of Running on Indy is brought to you by 361 Degrees Running Shoes with the all-new Meraki 2. Its high-mileage trainer is powered by Quick Foam. So quick you'll foam at the mouth. Check out the new Meraki 2. It's the Meraki 2. And find out why everyone is switching to Quick Foam. Quick Foam. It's available at your runner's form or your local run specialty store. Get some or die.
I don't like the die part, but...
Keep it.
Keep it?
Gotta keep it.
Gotta keep it?
Keep it.
All right.
It sounded like that
can
that
we add some explosives at the end? Can we go boom?
It sounded like that commercial with John Cena.
I've always wanted to do my monster truck rally / action movie. But anyway, welcome, Zach.
Thank you for being on the show. You nailed it, man. That was good.
All right. Wanted to bring you on the show because of the fantastic job you've done at the Avon. How long have you been the coach now?
This is my ninth year for both cross country and track.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Wow. It's been 9 years.
Yeah.
Holy
crap. Yeah.
Jesse, we're pushing 40, man.
No.
Really?
No, we're not. So I think it's really incredible what you've done. Now, the program wasn't like, I don't want to knock it or anything. It wasn't bad before you came, but you've definitely taken it to another level, like winning a state championship in track last year and then making it to the cross state championships several years right now. And they've never been to the state championship before. So what do you think, like when you first got there, what do you think was the big difference, like why you were able to take it to another level?
Well, first off, thanks for having me. This is it's pretty cool what you guys are doing.
Especially after that.
Absolutely. I think between the two sports is a little bit different. In cross country, when I first came in, I was an assistant for my first year. And Brandon DeHart was our head coach then, and he was fantastic. And he had taken over for another guy a year or two before that. And the culture from the cross country program on the distance side in particular, they had some success like in the 90s and early 2000s, like back when my wife ran for Avon. The boys and girls teams were both pretty good. And when I got there, they were decent, but there wasn't a lot of gung-ho 24/7 live the life runners. It was more about, you know, let's get some runs in, have some fun, let's play some ultimate frisbee as much as we can and just kind of get through the season. And I had come from two really good programs the 2 years prior, Franklin Central, were under Eric Kellison. I pretty much learned how to do it right through him. He was a fantastic coach, had a great year there. And then at Ben Davis, with Nick Baalbach on the cross country side and Mike Davidson on the track side, kind of, you know, learned even more on how to run a program the right way. And so in cross, Brandon and I were kind of on the same page with those kind of things. And so having both of us on board really started to change the culture there, because we had a senior class that was kind of, with all due respect, on their way out. And we had some really young kids who were more, all right, let's see how good we can be, you know, nothing holding us back type guys. On the track side, it was way different. I took over as the head coach my first year and start off with expectations, right? Like, number one, be at practice every day, like something simple like that. And oh, yeah. That was a huge shock to most of to half the team, probably.
We got to show up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, guys before that, from what I was told, would come and go as they please. You know, if they're in another sport, they can go do that for a while and then come back over. And I just never saw the benefit in that. So we start off with expectations. We lost some kids because of it, but we lost kids that probably weren't going to pan out anyway. Kept the kids who were all in, and over time that, you know, increased, and it kind of
built upon itself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now don't knock Ultimate Frisbee, man. Because we did that in high school.
Yeah, and we did too. Yeah.
Dude, it works.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about Ultimate Frisbee. Time and a place. You know,
our coach wouldn't let us play it every day, though.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the, from what I was told, it was more, let's get this round out of the way so we can go play today and then send it tomorrow and send it the next day. One alum put it this way. He said, we were a really good Ultimate Frisbee team that happened to run cross-country meets on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Jordan didn't get a good at basketball but riding a bike, you know.
That's right.
Someone told me that before. That's not my quote. So you got to do the sport that you're intended to do and then go from there. But you also, I know that you have them do a lot of the little things that you don't think about other than running. Can you get in? You have like a whole like program of like strength and conditioning.
Yeah, we have our freshman parents especially get kind of wide-eyed when I tell them that we'll be at practice for 2.5 hours. Like, they think we're going to be running for 2.5 straight hours, and I got to explain that, no, there's plenty of other stuff we do. No, I mean, we're very big on, you know, different drills, you know, walking drills and running drills. Hip mobility, we do every day, and probably don't have to do it every day, but we do anyway. Whether it's going over hurdles or the Myrtle routine, you know, which takes about 10 minutes. We'll switch off between different core stations and push-ups each day, or we'll go to the weight room once or twice a week, depending on what part of the season we're in, or just do like a general circuit, like a 15-20 minute circuit with everybody where it's just constant movement and constant stations. But yeah, we value that stuff a lot. It gets hard. Like right now it's really hard because we got all these different meets at different days with different kids running at different days and trying to get everybody in with their strength training without, you know, hurting them for the next meet they might have in a day or two. And it gets kind of hard to corral all the kids on different things.
So I have a question for you. You've had a lot of success there, obviously, coming mm-hmm. in from the past, like you say. So we've had Carmel mm-hmm. Men up here, which have had success, and then we had the
Zionsville
women's yep. team, which yeah. is a success. And they all kind of talked about their methods and like a typical training week.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about what you kind of do as for, and I know I get it's different
sure.
each week, but and kind of give us an overview of what is a typical week like for your team.
Yeah,
yeah, because I know like Carmel coach, he was at Avon for a year.
Yeah, yeah, for a yeah. year. My first year actually.
Yeah, and yeah. he was like a Pavo system guy, and I know you don't do Pavo, do you? Okay, well we don't need to talk about that too much, but so like what Blake was saying, so. I just wanted to
yeah.
just so give an example.
In cross country, it's pretty, I don't want to call it systematic, but since everybody's kind of racing the same thing, we typically will do our longer workout, whatever that might be at that time of year, you know, some kind of tempo lactate threshold or just a longer hill session or something like that, something more strength-based on Mondays typically. Wednesdays are usually more of our intervals, whether it's, you know, K repeats or maybe something shorter depending on, again, what's coming up and at what point in the season. And then Tuesday, Thursday, Friday are typically just maintenance runs. I've gone back and forth between like, you know, Monday, Wednesday workouts or Tuesday, Thursdays. I mean, cause that works at plenty of places. I like giving kids 2 days of just regular running before the meet. I think it lets us hit it a little bit harder earlier in the week. So if a kid tends to kind of get after it, I don't have to hold them back as much. Track is way different. Track we have for our distance kids. I put them into two groups, call them type one and type two. We might do a workout at the same time, but they're usually two different workouts.
Yeah.
Type one is typically like your 800 primary kids that might have more foot speed. They're probably more 400 geared than like a 2 mile geared. Or type two is like your 10K guys that don't get to run 10K because they're in high school. Like yeah. those kind of guys.
So
we train them a lot differently in terms of what they're doing. That all depends on what meets we have going on. Like this week, this is like our craziest week of the year. We had a freshman meet Monday. dual meet with everybody yesterday, and then a big varsity invite Friday. And so we're trying to, you know, figure out who's running what, and the guys that don't race this meet, when are they doing a workout, and then how do we, you know, structure all that. But so in track, it's a typical training week looks different every week, but we try to hit each system at least once every week and a half, whether that be, you know, VO2 stuff, like 2 mile race pace stuff, tempo of some sort. A long run we'll do about almost once a week, if not every 8 or 9 days.
And what do you guys get up to long run wise?
Our top guys, our seniors will go 13. They'll go 14 sometimes and tell me when they get done. But I usually describe 12 or 13. Uh-huh. Today, that's what we did for those guys. First year guys, my whole thing is to try to get them up to an hour at some point, build them up. We'll start with maybe 30 minutes and go like their first, you know, their first week. Try to go 5 minutes a week till they can get to an hour. And then we either keep them there, or if they handle it well, we'll kind of bump them up too. So it all kind of depends on what their background is. Like if I got some kids, especially in track, who they got a buddy that ran cross, they said it was fun. Kid's like, all right, I'll come out for track then. Never ran a step in his life, and here he is first day. And so like we'll start with something as simple as, all right, for 15 minutes, you're gonna run for 3 minutes and walk for a minute, or let's just see if you can get through 10 minutes and then come back and see how you do.
Yeah, and you don't, since we've kind of been running for a long time, you forget, like when you first start, you just don't know anything.
Right.
Because I remember the first time they, I had a sprint background, and the first time they put me in the mile, I sprinted the first quarter and it was like low 60s.
Yeah.
And I ended up running like over 5 minutes. So it's like died so hard and everybody just passed me. So you just like forget that kids just don't know these things.
Yeah, my first meet, I would run. We'd run through the trails and the courses, and I would when I got out of the trails, I'd run. But when I was in the trails, I'd walk. I had never ran before, so it was my first time ever running.
Yep.
Not on Zach's team. You'd be gone.
But he wouldn't have known.
he would know.
Because I walked, and when I got to the trail,
you can't be seen. Yeah, I mean, we've got like in track we have, or in cross we had 53 boys. The year before we had 60, right at 60. That was the biggest team I've ever had.
Wow, that's incredible.
And we get almost all them out for track. So we got about 50 to 55 boys on the distance squad right now.
For cross country?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And we'll lose a handful of them that don't come out for track, but then we'll gain 6 or 7 more that didn't do cross. It's just, like I said, especially in track, I try to get every kid, every one of our distance kids will run an 8, a mile, and a 2 mile at some point in the year. Like, you know, we'll go back and forth. We'll make sure that every kid gets each one of those in. So trying to figure out, okay, if you're doing an 800 this meet, what do we need, you know, the workout before versus, well, this kid's going to do a 2 mile though, so let's change that up and not do the same thing twice with the meet.
That's pretty awesome.
So if we're doing like, VO2 workout on Monday, we got to meet Thursday. My 800 kids, that's fine to do that VO2, but if a 2 mile is going to run that on Thursday, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
He's got to do something else on Monday. So it's, we got a lot of whiteboards in our meeting room that we'll use sometimes, and I got a lot of spreadsheets at home that I can look at.
Well, I mean, that kind of attention to detail, I think that's what really makes the big difference, that you're going to take the time to plan out each kid's mm-hmm. workouts according to their race schedule. I think that's pretty awesome.
And have you landed that one like stud, like that one guy that's like, he's got a chance to win it all. You know?
I mean, they did win state. So
I know, but I'm just saying, like we had.
We had Cole Hawker.
Yeah. Cole Hawker on last time. So,
I'm still waiting on, and no disrespect to the guys we had through, I'm still waiting on mine, I think.
You're
now, we did have...
Cole Hawker's like a one in a...
Yeah. Well, I don't expect you to get a Cole Hawker every day.
You get a Foot Locker guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had the 800-meter state champ last year.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, he wasn't the fastest guy going in. He actually won out of the first heat, the slow heat. His regional time was not great, so it didn't put him in the fast heat. Going into the year, or after indoor especially, he'd run pretty fast on a relay split. And so we were talking about the possibility of him winning state and how's he going to do it and what do we need to do to give him a chance. And then when he didn't make the fast heat, we didn't stop talking about it. We just definitely didn't talk about quite as much going into that week. We just said, okay, we're going to do everything we can and just see where it puts you, you know, because it was a really good 800 field. Not really a big kid who's 2 seconds ahead of everybody else, mm-hmm. but just a lot of really good, solid 152 guys in the field that I thought, okay, there's like 5 guys that could win this thing.
Those are usually the best races to watch.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, when you just don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because of that, though, because there wasn't like some guy that everybody knew was just going to go kill it, Keith Abramson's his name. He even asked me the day of the state meet. He said, "What are the chances of me winning this thing out of the slow heat?" Because again, his goal is win a state title, right? And I was like, "Well," I said, "it's happened one time before, but that was Austin Mudd, and he ran 149. So I don't know, you know." He's kind of jokingly about it, but we had a plan just to basically just kill it from the gun and just don't wait on anybody and see where it puts you.
Yeah, no one's gonna put him there. He'd have to do it on his own from the slow heat.
And he ran great. He PR'd. He ran 154.6, which most just wouldn't win. But he went through, and this is kind of the funny story about it. He went through 600 meters in 127 and started to rig a little bit. But then this other kid came up on him, and you never see this happen. When a guy's done, he's done in 800, right?
Yeah.
It gave him just enough where he just kind of glanced over.
And he's like, and he found something,
and he took off.
That's incredible.
Won the heat, ran 154.6. I thought, okay, that'll be top five maybe, right?
Yeah.
So I'm watching the heat with him, the next heat, because I said, well, you might medal, stay over here by the podium, and let's see how it goes. Next race goes off, and they go through the quarter in, like, 58 seconds. I kind of perked up thinking, nah, they'll come back faster, you know?
They have to come back quite a bit faster.
They go through in 600 meters and, like, Keith went through in 123. He just killed it. That's what it was. They went through in 127. Now I'm like, oh, my gosh, they've got to run, like, 27 flat on this last 200. He might win this thing.
Wow.
And so I'm waiting and waiting. They come through, and it was close. Sort of watching the scoreboard. First guy comes up, and it's not as fast as Keith. I'm like, wait a minute. Somebody's going to, you know, you always scroll through them. They put some mouse up there. I'm waiting. It seemed like 10 minutes. And finally, they showed them all, and my jaw just dropped. And I looked behind me, and Keith's all wide-eyed, and he's like, oh, my God, I just won the state meet. I was like, yeah, man.
That's incredible.
And he goes, awesome. I got to go sit down. I goes, I'm going to pass out. I got to go sit down.
Yeah, stories like that are
got
to, I mean, like, just going through something like it's got to make coaching just totally
absolutely.
Worth it.
Yeah. I mean, to be selfish about it, that was probably the best single moment I've had, I think, as a coach.
Little known fact about to enhance you with.
Oh, boy.
Eminem was a state champion in high school, and he ran a 153.
No way.
Yep.
Eminem ran 153?
Mm-hmm. Look it up.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, I will look that up.
He was a huge runner.
I am going to look that up.
And he ended up, he obviously made a bad decision and should have stuck with running, but he got hurt or something. He had a scholarship and everything. He got hurt, and he just kind of gave it up after that.
Started rapping.
But yeah, look it up. Yeah, Eminem.
How can they do any raps about track then?
You should have.
Really?
He was fast, man.
Something about the 800.
Yeah, you can actually Wikipedia that stuff.
You want to do this second plug, Blake, so you knock that out of here?
Yes, I sure can.
Oh, yeah, put on the glasses.
I do.
You're not used to that one.
This episode of Running on India is brought to you by 361 Degrees Running Shoes. Jesse, I'm wearing the Spire today.
Mm-hmm.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing the Meraki 2s.
I have not worn mine yet, but I have a pair.
Yeah. All right.
They're nice shoes.
Powered by Quick Foam. I had to do it. And also, don't forget that we are still doing orders for our gear store.
Oh, yes.
And that ends May 12th. You can get a cool Running on Indy t-shirt, trucker hat, or running hat, or a hoodie, or any kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really, really cool when you can even request to get my name put on the back of your shirts. And
yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so Zach, I was curious about this too. We were talking a little bit about it before we came in. What kind of things do you do to engage younger runners that might be coming into your program, whether it's cross country or track? Because I think that's probably getting young kids involved. I think it's something, a way that helps you in general, just helps the sport. And because like a lot of sports have that, but I think track and field and cross country are lacking a little bit.
Yeah. Just speaking strictly from the distance side, I think we battle soccer and football at a young level. You know, you've got soccer, club soccer, and even football youth leagues. Some soccer kids are starting to play soccer or in organized leagues at age 4. Football, they're playing, I don't know, probably age 7, age 8, some kind of league. So we usually get the kids in middle school that have never ran before, who either they're like me and they were terrible at every other sport, so they wanted to find something and they don't find it till they're 12 years old or 13 years old. Or B, just don't want to pay the money at those other club sports because they can be pretty pricey. Very rarely do you find a kid, a good high school runner who's a diehard runner at age 4 or 5, you know, it never starts off like that. And I'm all about multi-sport athletes and this and that, but it's hard to get a group of kids that young to go out and just run and find it to be fun.
Yeah.
We have what's called the Avon Junior Athletic Association, and they do all kinds of different sports, but they have what's called junior runners. And it's headed off by parents who have all had kids either currently or in the past have gone through our program. So they've seen kind of what we do and this and that, and they'll ask us questions and work with us a little bit. And they just meet like twice a week. And then maybe on a weekend, if they do a race, they'll split all the kids that join it. They'll split them up into teams based on the color of a t-shirt, and they give them all a shirt, and then they'll have like races against each other and have fun. And the very end of their season, they do this big, you know, one race with everybody. And so we'll come, we'll bring some of our guys and the girls coach, and the girls will come, and we'll talk to all the kids after and during. And cool. It's a lot of fun. So I know not a lot of places have that. So that's really big for us. But I mean, that's what we end up running into is we end up sharing kids in middle school and even in high school with other sports, which is fine. But we tend to be a little more okay sharing than what the other sports tend to be. Yeah. Other club sports, anyway.
Yeah, that tends to go with the territory in running.
Absolutely. So that's how we kind of recruit is we kind of look at those kids coming in.
You guys also do a pretty cool cross-country camp, right, still?
Yep. Yeah. This year, I mean, that'll be my plug for this, actually.
There you go.
Third week of June. We do it for 5 days, just from like 8 to 11:30 in Avon, where our high school coaches and athletes, we put it on. We do a bunch of games every day. We obviously go for runs and show them what we do. And we'll get 40 or 50 kids to come out for that usually end up running middle school and end up running high school in a couple of years.
And I've been out before, and it's a pretty cool camp. So if you want your kid to get into to running, I mean, this is a good spot.
So I do have another question for you. So I know your background is, I mean, you're a good distance runner yourself. You ran college, high school, whatnot, and so, you know, transitioning into coaching distance runners, you know, that's not too far, you know, too far off of what you already knew.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of talk about, you said you're the head track coach, right?
Yes.
So track is just more than distance. There's, mm-hmm. you know, sprinting, there's
field events,
yeah. There's, you know, high jump, and were things you probably did not do
mm-hmm.
in high school and college. Kind of talk about that. How did you kind of transition, and did you have to teach yourself? Did you have to study it? I mean, what did you do?
Like I said, the year before I went to Avon, I was at Ben Davis, which they're still very, very good. I got to see how a person can kind of run an entire program without being the coach of every event. And so when I got to Avon, I was very lucky. Still am very lucky. Our staff is very, very just good. Like, they're amazing. Like, I'll brag on, especially like our throws coach. I brag on him all the time. In my opinion, he's the best throws coach in the state of Indiana at any level. He's incredible. He's a good technician. It's not just, let's go throw this heavy piece of, you know, equipment. He's very, very good at all the little technical pieces of it. So I don't have to coach throws that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, our jumps coach is fantastic. He's had state champion. He's had numerous all-state kids. And he's been there since my wife was in high school in the early 2000s, or the late 90s. So, you know, our sprint coach has obviously had a lot of success for the last few years. We have people in every different area that make me look really good because I don't have to directly coach them.
Okay.
But at the same time,
you still have to know something.
Absolutely.
Because you're the head
right.
guy.
Right. And in my first year, I thought, okay, first thing I'm going to do if I'm kind of overseeing everybody is I need to learn all these other sports or all these other events more than what I already know. I mean, I can watch an event and appreciate it.
Plus, the kids want to feel like that you're invested in them, not just the distance guys.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So I the first thing I did was, well, the clinic we go to every year, the coach's clinic, which is great. I wouldn't go to any distance talks for a couple of years. I'd go to these other ones and learn more about sprints and more about jumps and this and that, just to have a better appreciation for it. And I also got my level one certification through USA Track and Field, which was like 2 days of just constant classes and everything.
And I did that in college too.
Yeah. And it's great. I mean, it gives you a great overview of mm-hmm. everything.
I think mine's expired at this point. I don't know. they expire, right?
I think 5 years, you got to renew it.
Oh,
you gotta get taken to test or something now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's over. it looked like you were maybe asking.
I was just going to say, I just noticed that two gingers in here.
I got a red beard too.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can claim ginger.
Yeah, you can't claim ginger. Your hair is
too dark. It's also like there's a level of overcoming something when you're a ginger. I don't know if I've had to overcome. Because I can shave off the beard and no one would know.
Well, see, I've always had this idea that we need to form a ginger running team or running club. You know,
where I would join
we
that.
Run every single St. Patrick's like, Day race.
Can I be like an honorary member? I mean, I have a red beard. I mean,
and then you have to like, grow it out like crazy, though.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'll grow it down to like my chest or something.
Always said that if a ginger was ever discriminated against and I rioted, I would riot sunscreen stores and big and hat stores.
That's right.
So I'd just riot those. Get all the sunscreen and hats.
Anything to block the sun.
I'm surprised you. I don't even want to say it. You missed the obvious on that. What you would riot, but that's you personally. On your chicken preferences.
Oh, yes. Do you remember
I was waiting for a reference.
Okay, I got it.
If I'm not mistaken.
I thought we were going to run out
it's,
of time.
It's kinda,
if I'm not mistaken, you're the Bojangles yes. ambassador.
Yes, I am.
From the Midwest. Yeah.
Jesse doesn't believe this, but we're going to get a sponsorship addition to 361 with Bojangles. And then I'm going to have his catered chicken every single podcast.
See, I had to mention it because later on I'm going to be like, man, I forgot to talk about Bojangles.
So Bojangles, it's got
to
be mentioned.
Dang it, Jesse, I forgot to talk about Bojangles. So I'm going to ask you one more thing. What do you think, and this is kind of, I don't know what your answer would be on this, but what do you think like is the most challenging thing for kids today as a student athlete?
That's a good question. Most challenging thing.
That you've seen and observed as a coach.
Criticism.
Really?
Yeah, I think, there's always a few that take it really, really well. There are fewer kids than not that I've had go through personally. I feel like I'm pretty stern with my kids. I mean, I'm fair. They may not all think I am, but
Toothman is no nonsense. I can tell you from his college days.
But I mean, I'll tell a kid point blank, mostly because I have so many. I'll tell a kid what they did right, what they did wrong, in my opinion, and we'll talk about it. And some kids, very few of them, I feel like take that the right way without having another conversation about it. Mm. A lot of kids just if you say one good thing, one bad thing, they're only focused on the bad thing. Or if I ask a kid, okay, what'd you do right? It takes them a while to come up with something. If I ask what they did wrong, I can name three or four things.
Yeah.
So I think criticism is hard for kids to accept that, and it's just more of a pride thing. It's hard to be like, yeah, I screwed up, but you're telling me this to make me better. I think a lot of kids, it's hard for them to handle that.
I think it's also a generational thing.
Yeah,
I agree. I feel like
I know
were
a
younger,
lot of adults, though, that have
a
hard time taking criticism.
Well, it could be just society. Everybody says stuff about something.
But that is what makes you better if no one tells you.
I agree.
If nobody tells you what you're doing wrong, you're not going to get better, you know?
I'm totally agree.
I feel like the kids we've had that have...
They'll respect you more in the long run.
Yeah. And the kids I think that we've had that have gone to college and have done... Not that it's a direct correlation, but the kids that I know that have had good college careers and that have done well at the next level tend to be the ones that when they were with me could handle it better.
Yeah.
I could kind of get in a kid's face a little bit one-on-one and say, okay, what were you doing in this situation? Or, you know, talk about something where they screwed up and they would just, they'd be like, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. How do we fix it?
Yeah.
Whereas some of them, I mean, you gotta coddle and this and that. My wife always said that. My wife coached at IUPUI for a few years, and she said that nothing against guys, between guys and girls, but she said girls, you just have to kind of not really coddle, but present it differently. But a guy, you could be like, get your head out of your butt, you know, what'd you do wrong there? And they would be like, yeah, you're right, you know, immediately. But I've got plenty of boys who I've got to spin it a little bit differently, or they don't want to talk to me again, you know, because they're afraid I'm going to say something else that's going to be.
Well, it does help
me.
You have a master's in psychology, right?
doesn't always help me out with that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So keep that, because when you talk to Jesse, he's very sensitive.
Whatever.
Yeah. He'll cry, and the next thing I know, his girlfriend will call me up. Yeah, what did you say about Jesse?
All false things.
But I'll say this too. Like with part of it also with the number of kids like that is just understand their personalities. Because if I know for a fact I can't tell a kid what I want to say and how I want to say it, there's no reason to do it that way.
Right.
Because it's not going to get through to the kid. And that's what you want. So you just got to understand the kid's personalities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're a great coach, man. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show today, Zach. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. Do you have any more questions, Blake? Or
no, I'll tell you, I'm impressed. I've known, even though Jesse didn't know, I've known you for a while.
I couldn't remember if you guys met.
Yeah. So just so everybody knows, Comes in to sit down and eats a 317 burger with us. And he goes, "Hey, Blake, have you met Zach?" I'm like, "No, I haven't met Zach. I've only known him since I've moved here."
I forgot. It's been a while since we all ran at Eagle Creek. True. We got to start running at Eagle Creek again. I have a pass. So.
But I did not
I've
know.
Used it three times.
I knew your wife was a good runner. I knew you were a good runner. I knew you were a coach, but I did not know the success you've had with that.
He's
so
built
that's,
it up,
that's
man.
Pretty awesome.
Thank you.
So ground next level. Step up is college now, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
He's gonna coach some elite distance. Project.
Well, I think he'll probably end up taking over the Oregon project.
Yeah. I was trying to say that without saying it. Don't worry, Avon. We don't know anything that you
the
don't
Avon,
know.
The Avon Distance Project. That's what we'll do.
The Avon
we'll
Distance
bring
Project.
Bring everybody out west.
I
here.
Like that.
Yeah.
ADP.
There you go.
Real quick. Who you got winning London this weekend?
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I forgot.
I'm going with Kipchoge.
But
Mo says he's gonna try to take him down. So.
Well, if you're going with Kipchoge, I'm going with Mo.
Okay.
And then
Mo have some hotel issues?
He
came
does.
Up a little bit. He's got to worry about.
No, it came out today.
It's gonna mess
but
his head a little bit.
Does he live there? How does he have a hotel issue?
So
is he from? He
okay, so
London,
he's
right?
staying in Gabriel Selassie's hotel in London. He owns a hotel in London, and he came out and said that somebody had. Stole a bunch of his stuff.
Yeah, a watch and
like
some money.
Yeah, and so he called Gabriel Selassie about it, and he said, there's a process for that. You know, what do you want me to do? And so he kind of was crying about that.
Yeah.
And so, it came out today.
I'm only going with Mo because you're going with Kipchoge. Otherwise, I'd probably do the opposite, but what do you think? It's a tough one.
Is Scott Overall running it?
He is. No.
I go with Scott Overall.
Oh, that's right.
He did. Thomas Frazier may be in there, though.
I'm going to go with whoever the top indie guy.
The top indie?
Yep, that's what I'm going with. For the win.
For the win, yeah.
When it happens,
you're not even
heard it here.
You're not going to say USA, you're just going to say indie.
No,
indie.
How about this?
Somebody by the name of Kipchu will win.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. Did you see the video of the at the expo? They have the treadmill set at world record pace.
Oh, cool.
That you can fall down; it won't hurt you or anything.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
And Mo fell down twice. I think he was just joking around, though. He was running on the treadmill at world record.
I mean,
pace.
World record pace is like 4:36 pace. So it's like
4:38, I think.
Well, what, I mean,
pretty
whatever.
Good. Whatever. Still really fast.
I don't. I mean, yeah, that would make him fall down.
Yeah. Well, he's racing the world record.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Anyway, we're going to wrap this up. So thank you for listening to us. You can make sure to check us out on Facebook, like our page, follow us on Instagram, Twitter. And I would like to thank our sponsor, 361 Degrees, powered by QuickFoam. Check 361 Performance Footwear at Runners Forum or your local run specialty retailer. And I'm going to save the voice for next time. Maybe,
and don't forget to go ahead on our website and order some Running On Indie gear.
Yeah, come support the show and get some cool gear.
Yeah.
And you look good. And then if you want to do a podcast, you can come to Village Recording Studio in Broderpool. And Brian Wheat, our podcast guru, will lead you to the path of getting hopefully more listeners than us. We have dozens of listeners, but you could have more than dozens of listeners if you go with Brian Wheat.
Hey, so did you guys watch Saved by the Bell?
Okay, what?
Of course. Okay. The 90s, of course.
So
is this in the episode?
Yeah. So,
anyway.
I can't help but think. So I'm looking around the room and I see all these guitars, right? Uh-huh. Remember they had a band called Zach Attack. Remember that?
Zach Attack.
Yeah, Zach Attack. Yeah, it was like they all
vaguely.
You know, okay.
You're the Saved by the Bell.
Maybe I'm telling my age.
Anyway, you've listened to the show, right? Do you remember the ending? We're gonna say, make sure to keep running on indie in unison.
Okay,
that's what we're gonna do. We should have told you this before the show started.
Yeah. I'm nervous.
All right, so make sure to keep running on indie.